The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
They've been through a lot, and I just want to thank them for their support and coming on the show yesterday. All right, well, we got a big show today. We got our good friend Jason Gillen on. We'll bring him in momentarily, but before we do, I want to give you a little information on this gentleman. Let me bring this up. Number one, he is a strongman, powerlifter, a Highland Games athlete. If you've been watching him, he's been lifting stones, maces, he's messing around with all kinds of good stuff. Obviously, if you've been paying attention, he's got his two young men on there, his boys, lifting some stones and getting them interested in things that really matter, and it's very important. Before I bring him in, we're going to talk about bare bones, and we'll get into that more momentarily. But, Jason, welcome back to Motivation Muscle, sir.
Man, thank you so much, Eric. And you know what? My heart goes out to Carmen Caputo's family because I'm very encouraged and motivated by that man.
Oh yeah, he's an awesome guy, and he's another good friend of the show, big supporter. You know, there's a lot of them. Yourself, Frank DeMeo, I can go right down the list. And we got to support them when they, you know, when they get some bad things happening with them. And
definitely. Well, I tell you, when my wife had her surgery, those guys were always there for me. You know.
Well, they're that type of guys too. I mean, they they're very unselfish in everything they do, and there's a lot of things that have been sent to me or said to me that, you know, I don't bring it up a lot because it's not that I don't want to give them the credit for it, but they do it in a way that they don't want to, you know, they're not looking for any type of glory or pat on the back. But, I mean, the people I named off there, and there's many. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. But this is just stuff that's happened in the last 24 hours here. Anything I missed, Jason, give it out. If not, we're going to start on bare bones, brother.
Well, I was just going to say, I've been motivated by everyone you mentioned there and comments from them back to me on some of my videos have really been exactly what I needed at the time. So I really want all of them to know, you know, that I appreciate them.
Absolutely.
I took your challenge on with that 200-pound sandbag and putting it overhead. And
yep.
That's getting to be a regular thing. It sits in my backyard, and I go over there before actually, it's usually after work, after I'm already beat down from a long day of construction.
Yep.
Put that thing on my lap, push it overhead, go in the house.
Yep.
I've gotten control of it now, and that's what we're talking about, really.
Absolutely. With bare bones, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people could label it as, well, it's the three lifts, you know, the squat, deadlift, and one form or another of a press, whether it's overhead or a bench press. And that's true. That is the staple because that's, you know, let's face it, we all go back to it all the time. That is what it is. But bare bones, in a sense, to me is, now we're talking like, you know, pressing a 200-pound sandbag overhead. That's pretty bare bones when you talk about it. There's nothing real fancy about it. It's going to come down to basically how you set the bags up, what type of bag you load it with, you know, whether you use an army duffel or, you know, Ken Nowicki is a good friend of ours, and we have his link from here to Cerebus. You know, they make them with Iron Mine. They're very good, too. But, you know, bare bones is going to be something in that respect. And I think really right now what we need to do is to strip our training down as bare as possible because with what I've been doing, I trained last night, and I've been really, really introducing a lot of old stuff back in. And if you've been listening to anything I've been talking about, obviously I've put all I've gone to right now is a 144 overhead. It wasn't hard at all, But I got thinking when we were talking bare bones, and you know, Martin Jancic was the one that lit the match on this whole thing. And you know, when I got into doing this, I was like, yeah, I could start loading these bags up and go and see what happens with the 200 pounder, because I don't care how big of a guy you are, a 200 pound sandbag is much different than a 200 pound barbell cleaning and pressing. That's another story, and we might even get into that. But
no, that'll slap you in the face.
Totally. You know? And what spurred me on more than anything was this, and I've been doing this on and off. It's like, what are the components from head to toe that are going to really foster that lift overhead, but yet it's going to translate to everything you do. So if you want to go to Iceland and lift a stone, you want to go to Scotland and lift a stone, you want to press something huge over your head, we're talking a log, a dumbbell, whatever, what do we got to do to get these components to really, really work? Okay, two things I'm going to tell you right now I'm doing very, very roughly, and I've gotten into this one arm of pollen stuff big time, is this, the lower arm. The lower arm doesn't get enough, enough nice words said about it. And if you want to be any type of stone lifter or anything for that matter, you better have a forearm, a wrist, a hand, and fingers. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter how strong your shoulder girdle is, your hip girdle, you're going to have a bitch of a time lifting a big stone, especially if there's no handholds in it, and a lot of them don't have it. And I know one in Iceland that does not, and it will break your arms off you, literally. All right? So what I'm saying here is that and the spinal erectors. We all know how important they are. I'll get right to you, Jason. But I, you know, due to finding an old Perry Rader Iron Man magazine, and a number of other things I've been searching through, this is what's been conveyed all the time. If you have the spinal erectors, there shouldn't be anything you can't lift. Now, some people are going to say that's not true. Well, I'll tell you what. Look at all the great lifters and look at the backs on them. And it's not only traps. You know, as I call them, I'm building Roman columns right now. So when I started thinking about it, I was like, look, what would be more fun than not only working sandbags, which we are right now here, but why not build the living shit out of the back? And I mean in a whole different manner. We're going to get into this, but go ahead, Jason. Comment on anything, whatever you want. Take it away, my friend.
Well, you talked about linking it all together, you know, and especially when it comes to something specific that you want to do, and you have your trip to Iceland, which... Yep. You know what? I am just really anxious for you to get there.
You're not the only
one. But I also have here in the Northwest a grip contest held by a good friend of the former strongman, Jesse Marundi.
Yep.
Going to be a Northwest grip, greatest grip or something. I don't have the title, but it's August 5th in Portland, Oregon. And what we're going to do there is... the Rolling Thunder, which in December I did my first grip meet, and I set a Pacific Northwest record with 205 on the very first meet for that.
Yep.
We also got a duck walk with a two-inch handle, T-handle, down a course and back, which is going to make it a strongman grip hybrid. But here's the cool part. We're going to do something that I've always wanted to do. It's not been a feature in anything I've been in, but it's that car hold. Remember how those were so popular, you know?
Yeah.
And they've kind of, I mean, they're you see them here and there, but I'm glad I'm going to have that this time.
Yep.
That, the actual car they're going to have is the one from the Quentin Tarantino movie. I'm trying to think. It's a Nova, and it's a movie with... oh, what's his name? I don't know. It's the Nova from one of his movies.
Okay, it's a
hot rod. It's going to be sweet. But anyway, but when we talk about linking it all together, you're right. The three lifts, squat, bench, deadlift, that is my weekly routine, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
However, because of all the things that I've studied in the past, you know, starting way back in the early 2000s with the principles of the dinosaur training book, all the way up to today with your show,
yep,
I make sure to get those extra things in, like that 200-pound sandbag that sits in my yard. That thing has to be gripped, lapped, and pressed overhead on a regular basis.
Yeah.
That carries right into everything. I mean, my fingers, I dig my fingers into that thing, building my grip strength. In addition to, I am doing specific grip strength training, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But
sure.
But just bringing that from my lap to my shoulder, pumping up my... my midsection, especially my spinal erectors.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I, even though I'm coming home from a long day at work, it feels like I'm revived and ready to go again, you know?
Yeah, it's...
I do all,
go ahead.
I do all my training early in the morning before work.
Okay.
So I get training in, hard work outside, and then I come home, and when I do that, let's say lift that sandbag, I'm awake. I'm ready to go to play with my boys, Levi yep. and Jake, to do whatever we're going to do as a family, because we do enjoy a lot of things together. So,
yep.
So everything ties together, you know, if you want to think about it.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. But, you know, I'll tell you one thing. When you start exploring stuff like that, now I've been doing a thing that I was talking to John McKean again the other day, because they're going to be doing a lot of sandbag work, and when he's done with his last meet, he's going back in the power rack. So he and I are going to be, co-collaborating on some stuff coming down the road together. And his grandson now is going to go on a sandbag program similar to what I'm going to be bringing out with Etched in Stone for Men probably within the next few months. And he loved what we were going to do, and then we got talking about the newest thing I'm doing is a warm-up to go with some body weight stuff that came from him years ago, is sandbag stacking. Now, this is a real interesting concept because I'll tell you exactly what I do. I mean, I open up with squat pull-ups. I go right to high shrugs. I go right to sandbag stacking, and then I go right to long strength good mornings. And the idea with all of this is to go 1-to-1-to-1-to-1 and not use absorbent weights, but use enough and your body weight to really, really explode your warm-up. And your warm-up's going to go at least 20 minutes minimum, because when you're going five rounds and you got to move as fast as you can, you are going to get quite a build up there, which is going to allow you to go into whatever you're using with weights, whether it's one movement, two movements for the day, at least 90% of your maximum. And that means no doing the typical 135, 225, 315. Those days are long gone. And I'll go from there, and I don't use any more than 50 to 110 pound sandbags. And the reason for that is this isn't a lesson in how much you can pick up and move. It's a lesson to see what you can pick up, move it quickly, and stack it. That's the whole deal. Now, down the road, I'm either going to increase rounds or I'm going to maybe throw another 10 pounds in a bag. So we might be up to 120. But the workout you get from that, and we're talking hand work, and we're talking body pump, and we're talking all types of endurance, is spectacular. Now, not only that, I've gone back to doing a lot of the suitcase lifts, which would be an Apollon axle on the side of your body, and you get down, push off on the other leg with your free hand, stand up with it. Lock that tricep right out, too, before you grab that bar. That's been another thing. But another thing I've been exploring, which is real interesting, that you really don't have to go monster heavy with it. It's going to depend on your grip anyways, is I start dead stop pressing overhead. It'll be a couple pins from lockout in a Apollon axle with weight on it. Now, I'm here to tell you, you could use 100 pounds in that thing, and that thing will give you an arm pump and a thickness. Like today, my arm is just my whole body. It feels like it's grown everywhere, and I only went up to 150-pound Apollon last night. But you got to realize everything is relative here, because prior to that, I pulled about 6 inches up from my ankles a 370-pound Hoosa Steel Stone last night, and I didn't only pull it, I ripped that thing off the ground, stood up with it like a toy. Now, I've been messing around with bands with that thing, pulling through bands at all different heights. I've put that at a high height where I could put a 35-pound band over it and barely even move it through it, because you just you couldn't get down low enough where you could explode it through the band. But I'll tell you what, I could move it just a little bit, and I'm telling you right now, the benefits from that alone is incredible. So, you know, we get into the basics, but, you know, I say all this stuff I'm doing now is bare bones to me, because you're messing around with stuff that most people wouldn't even go near, let alone that, but the idea that, you know, you're not using monstrous amounts of weights. Well, I'm telling you right now, this stuff shifts all over. You know, I got to do a squat tomorrow night. I can't wait to get out there. Dead stop at parallel with bands over the top. You know, John's like, you shouldn't do them. That's crazy. You're doing two dead stop squats, basically. I'm not going to put it through my belt, and I'm not going to step on it, because I want to see what I can do. I did it for the first time last week. Not the best, even close to what I've done. But at parallel, I hit a 478-pound dead stop squat on my second set. That's pretty damn good, because I started in at 400 with that thing. So the idea is you can progress pretty good with this and build some screaming speed with it too. And right now, everything I'm doing has got massive speed to it. Take it away.
You're exactly right. You know, and the thing is you were talking about the different things you were lifting and the weights, and you don't really have to explain that it's not very much, because right. It's a series,
yeah.
One after another.
Yep.
And when you go from lifting to squeezing out the rest of what you got with a dead stop,
yep.
That is what we're talking about, bare bones. You know what? I've been doing that for 15 years.
Yep.
I'll come in the gym, do the basics, do the regular deadlift, regular squat. Although I really work at perfecting the form on those things on a regular basis.
Yep.
Not that I'm going to compete in squat, or I'm going to compete in deadlift or in bench, but just to make sure that craft is specifically done the right way.
Yeah.
However, the rest is up to what I need, you know, and like you said, there's, a time when you need to grab the Apollon axle, which I do many times. There's a time to press something from the ground up.
Yep.
I tell you, today is bench day. I can't wait to get there, because I'm going to throw my fat grips on my version of John Bruni's Neuro grips
yep.
that I built.
Yep.
And that's going to be my secondary exercise to the regular bench, but the regular bench is not going to just be with the bar. I'm going to use the Apollon axle. It's going to be off the floor press.
Yep.
And on in the squat rack. So those two will work together in conjunction. But really, I need to transition into my grip today.
Yeah.
So because I had those fat grips on the T-handles that I made, my crushing grip is already fired up.
Yep,
absolutely. And then that will lend itself perfectly to more band work with the chest, supersetted with carries of some type with like farmer's walk implements.
Sure.
Or maybe go out back. I've shown in some of my videos. We only have one Atlas stone that I brought into the gym.
Yep.
It's a 214-pounder, but that's just the beginning. I talked to you a couple weeks ago or a couple days ago about Mike Cromer.
Yeah, we're going to try to get him in. Yep.
And he's got the Slater molds, and And he says, yeah, I could borrow them and make some Atlas stones as soon as he gets them back.
Nice.
Yeah, somebody else is borrowing them, so I'm still waiting. But once I get those, I'm bringing them over here, and we're going to get some more stones. But the whole point is to link those together, to squeeze out what you came in with. You came in with all this vim and vigor ready to do what you need to do.
Yep.
But you gotta squeeze it out with those heavy taxing movements, and they don't have to be a 300-pound Atlas stone.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Hey, I'll tell you right now, you'll find as you implement these different lifts and made them up together, and maybe they don't work, and you change them up with other things, you're gonna find a whole different look in your body metabolically too.
Exactly. Exactly.
You start screwing around with 2-inch, 3-inch bars, 2-inch dumbbell handles, or you can do like here where we'll take a big, thick car sponge, take a half a roll of duct tape and turn it into a 3 or 4-inch handle. And with all the stuff I've got hanging from the 6x6s, you know, you can get under these things safely. You'll either move them or you don't. If you get caught, let it drop. It'll dangle there. You crawl right out from under it. See, that's how you can build a massive, massive body. And like I said before, everybody's too hung up on weight. Yeah, everybody wants to pick up shit. But here's the deal. As you're training with these mid-range weights, when you end up going after something bigger for the day and that's what you're going to concentrate on, you will be absolutely shocked how strong you are. Last night, it was very hot here. It's going to be like this for the rest of the week. The humidity's going to really start climbing into the 90s. This is a drill I've been doing. And you got to be very careful of this. So, listen, you know, when I'm pulling, I can do my Hoosa steel stones from any height in the rack, inside the garage, or I have big chains hanging on the outside. I can hang it from, like I said, I don't have to worry about getting caught or dangling or anything. I can't get it. It sits there. I move it. I lose it. It still sits there. It just dangles and smacks stuff. Now, I was in the garage last night, obviously, and picking up this big stone, and obviously I've got a big platform under it, or I'll pull it off plates or whatever. Whatever I'm doing at the time, I've got multiple directions I go with that in there. What I was doing last night, and you've got to be very quick with it too, because you don't want to let this thing drop if you can help it, is when I would grab this stone and pull it and stand up straight with it, I would kind of almost, where your forearms are pressing very hard onto the stone, I would let up on it just slightly and then re-grip it again. Start doing stuff like that. Watch what will happen to your forearms and everything. They look like they're going to, like I wear usually Johnson's tape halfway up my forearms. It was literally snapping the tape down the sides of it. It looked like someone took a knife and was cutting slits all in it. That's how big my forearms are starting to pop from doing that. So see, little things like that that most people have no idea. I have people here, and this isn't bragging either, that are good, good lifters, and they'll say to me point blank, how the hell did you ever think of stuff like that? Well, I just follow instincts most of the time, unless I literally sit down here and say, okay, we're going to do this, and this is what I do a lot of times. But last night when I went out there and did that with that stone, that's the first time I ever did it. Let up on it a little bit and just slam the forearms tight against it. Go and do that, folks. Just make sure your feet are not in any vicinity. If you suddenly lose that stone and it goes to hit the ground, it will destroy your foot. But what I'm saying, I had this in a platform where even if I let go of it, it was going to hit the platform and I would have recovered and grabbed it so nothing happened to me, the stone, or the platform. That's just what I'm talking about when we're talking bare bones training. You know, everybody's like, and I totally agree with it. I think thick bars still for your forearms, your lower arm. I there's tons of stuff out there. I've got it all out there. I still think the best bang for the buck is the thick bars, period. I think that they build massiveness all over in that lower arm. But I tell you this, when you start fooling around with stuff like that, you're going to start really seeing some major growth. Because forearms grow like crazy. You do stuff like that, you'll start seeing your wrists thickening even more, and you can tell by your hands and fingers what's been going on. So go ahead and comment on that, Jason.
You're exactly, you know, too, when it comes to the grip and your and the thickness of your hands.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that you brought that up about that kind of a pulsating where you let go, grab it again, let go.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about. When you say bare bones, let's say you only have, like Robbie Robinson back in the day.
Yep.
He said all he ever had was a 95-pound dumbbell when he was a kid.
Yep.
And just one of them. And he said, if I'm going to get stronger, I'm going to have to learn how to lift this 95-pound dumbbell.
Yeah.
You know? And it didn't have to be one thing. He did all kinds of things as a little skinny kid.
Yep.
with that one implement. Well, today with my grip, I've been consulting with James Fuller too, which I really have become extremely fascinated with.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah.
That guy's grip is scary.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
But he was trying to thumb lift his 75-pound double-sided old-school York plates. And if you've seen those, they made them back in the day with the 1.1-inch hole.
Yep.
And they have a lip on both sides, but it's not a dish lip. It's like a rounded lip with some surface, and then it rounds over the edge of the plate. So it's basically you have this little rounded curb inside the plate that you pick up with your thumb. And when I watched him do that, I was like, I really need those plates. So we started talking, and he goes, oh, they're pretty available. You know, in fact, he found me some right away on Craigslist. That's the kind of guy James is.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yep.
What a man. I mean, I really appreciate him. But I got to thinking, I got some old school one-inch plates in my Jason's Power Gym. They're 50s, but they're configured the same way. They're double-sided. They got a little bit of a rounded lip on it. Now, you do have to reach your thumb in down the plate a little farther than what you would with the York, but that even makes it harder, you know? So instead of buying another grip implement, which I make a lot of my grip implements, but they're, you know, I just copy what's out there.
Sure.
But this thing, man, this thing is revolutionary to me. It's like I've had those plates; they were given to me two sets of 50s.
Nice.
Now I got one plate to carry with my thumb. Once I could carry those with each hand, James goes, "Can you imagine pinch gripping two of those together?"
Oh yeah.
That's when I said, well, that's when I'll need your coaching then, James, because that's a pretty crazy feat right
yeah,
there. You know?
Absolutely.
So they're not like the flat plates. They're like two, you know, rounded corners. You'd really have to develop some powerful grip, but I will, you know, because
sure
I'm gonna take the basics. I'm gonna take the simple thing and make that my challenge, and that's where bare bones comes from. Just think of Robbie Robinson. You know, you got a 95-pound dumbbell. You're 16 years old.
Yep.
You better learn how to overhead press it. You better learn how to row it. You better learn how to shoulder it, maybe even do some front squats with it.
Yeah, anything's possible with all this stuff. That's the whole point. I mean, greatness comes from really not much initially. And, you know, eventually it's like all of us, we build, and build. You know, you start with a, you know, in my case, it was a sand weight set with a wooden bench.
Exactly.
You know, I never thought it would get to where it is now. And, you know, as the business grows and as we financially increase, I've got probably five things that I want to have built for here. And it's going to be pretty wild looking stuff. There's going to be a lot of barrels involved, a lot of big chain involved, a lot of pulleys involved. It's going to be pretty wild. I mean, there's a ton of stuff here now, but There's a few things I really want to get into, and I know they're going to be super beneficial. So, you know,
well, you talk about the king when it comes to that. Well, what about Steve Justa? Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, the stuff he – I mean, look at the place he had. It was, you know, look at the power he developed.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And people need to look that up because that's where my mentality started, is learning about guys like him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? He – you know, last I knew about him, he had lost, you know, he had really trimmed down quite a bit. Still looks strong as an ox, but, you know, that's the great thing about bare bones training that, you know, I can lay right out for you. You know, sooner or later, all of us aren't going to be weighing 300 pounds anymore or not going to want it anymore, but we're still going to want to train the same. And that's the beauty of what we're talking about. For anybody that, say, is 200 pounds and doesn't want to, and I don't know why you wouldn't, but doesn't want to put more body weight on but wants to get much denser, bigger ligaments, tendons, obviously bone construction. Well, here's the stuff that you need to do, and this is what we're talking about here today. Latch on to the basics, latch on to a sandbag, latch on to a stone, latch on to thick bar training, and you don't have to do it all at once. See, that's the thing with what – this to me is what kills what we do out there in the mainstream, because all you ever see is this, 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 this. Nobody, even a good lifter, is going to be able to wrap their arms around all that at once. It's just – it's impossible because – mentally, most people just are not set up to handle that type of oncoming train all the time. But here's what I would tell anybody, and I've trained kids here and all that, and I'm hoping my nephew, Danny, now that he's doing little sandbags at 7 years old, and he has lifted small stones over here, you know, he's got a hell of a gene pool to draw from. I just hope he wants to play football like his uncle and his father, and wants to weightlift like myself and my brothers, among other things that we've done too. He's got quite a sports backfield in him. Boy, oh boy, you want to talk about being able to lend my experience to a little kid? Holy God, man. He stays with that. By the time he's 12 years old, he'll be knocking people right out of their boots, literally, because he's playing some type of flag football they just got done with. You know, he's playing other sports, and it, you know, never push, but it seems like, you know, if he sees me doing something, he's over the house, he's right on me with it. And that makes me very pleased because we know the situation out there, especially, and we're just going to talk about men in general. A lot of it is pretty pathetic. And you got to grab them and grab them while they're young. If they don't want to keep doing it, I'm okay with that. But the life lessons, the mental lessons it builds, they're going to be, as I call, stewards of strength. When they get out there in the real world, they'll know how to conduct themselves. They'll be leaders. They're not going to be a bunch of little snowflakes or pajama boys out there that are just waiting for something to happen for them or get very upset over nothing. That's what I'm looking at. That's what we do here. That's how we build, and we want others to be that way too. You can have your own identity, but understand there are things out there that are more important than worrying about who's on the radio, the TV, or what new text message you get. Who gives a damn? Who cares?
Yeah,
it means nothing. It means nothing. And people are going to find out more and more. I mean, and I'm not going to get into any politics, but when you see what's going on here, you know, you have a guy that's definitely out of his mind. Where's the Republicans? And he shoots a senator, and this guy's in critical condition. I mean, this has gone too far with a lot of this stuff, and this is all due to people not recognizing the value of others, whether you like them or not, and going out and doing activities like that, because that's one of the reasons why I stress weight training here and the mental side of everything and the spiritual side of everything and the faith, whatever you want to practice, because that's the most important thing that's going to get you from A to Z every time. Don't be bankrupt. Don't buy into the media. And most of all, get yourself to a point where you're so strong physically and mentally and spiritually that, yep, you'll have days like everybody, but you're not going to be following the crowd. And right now, as my dad always said, be a leader, not a follower. We need leaders right now in this entire world more, I think, than ever in the history of civilization. And maybe maybe in some ways it's been like this, but with this mass media 24/7 coming at you like a freight train, there's no wonder to me why we're starting to see the things at a very highly ratcheted level going up more and more and more. And it's going to take people that are of like-minded leadership and not going to put up with this anymore to stop it once and for all. Go ahead, man. Comment on anything.
Yeah, that's an excellent tie-in. You know, that first we were talking about just the training itself being what I liked is the term GPP, General Physical Preparedness.
Yep.
So if you're doing a basic, something basic, or doing something, squeezing all the juice out of it, you know, with whatever implement you have, then you are. The sky's the limit. There's no end to what you do, what you perform. But you're right, too, tying that into the local events. You know, this guy with the shooting. That is a perfect example of somebody who can't, you know, he can't handle it. I mean, it's not his way. So
right.
he's gonna go out there and destroy some lives because he's such a wimp.
Yep.
You know, that is exactly a perfect tie-in.
Yep.
I mean, it's just like I'm a painting contractor, and you know, I'm working on a house, and I've had employees that don't know, you know, what do I do now?
Yeah,
you grab the scraper and scrape the paint off. You know, you get yourself going. You don't. I don't have an extension cord so I could hook up the sander. Well, you grab the hand tools and get going. That's the same with this shooter. He didn't have enough.
Your life.
Confidence in himself.
Right.
He didn't have enough respect, like you said, for the fact that other people have opinions, other people have, you know, a way of life that they believe in, that he had to actually end their life.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, he got his life ended, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're exactly right. But the whole point is to strengthen yourself.
Yep.
You know, to build yourself, because, you know, I'm my lifting is just a very small fraction of me. I mean, I got a whole other life,
yeah,
of course, like anybody else. And I face a lot of things that could stop me in my tracks, you know, even depression and things like that could really hit me hard if I let it.
Yep.
But like you said with Rocky, you know, the point is, it's not how hard you can get hit, but how hard you hit, but how hard you can get hit.
Yep.
And keep fighting back, keep moving forward, and that's how it is with this this training. You know, you can't walk in and say, "Oh man, you got a strong grip. I wish I had that."
Right.
Well, work for what you need. You know.
Yeah.
Grab something. Lift something.
Pulsate.
I love that idea you said about pulse, you know, we'll just call it pulsating.
Right, right.
With that stone. I mean, you let go of it, grab it again, let go of it. That's ingenious. You know, that's adapting to the moment. And you've actually built and created more than what you had before.
Yep.
So thank you for that suggestion there.
You got it, man. I'll tell you what. Training alone has been the best thing I've ever done. It just leads you from the one step to the next step to the next step to the next step. It's just a way. If you learn to listen to yourself, you're going to get somewhere. You got to get rid of, as I say, strip the varnish off your brain. Get rid of it. Because if you don't, you're going to be just falling into one trap after another. Like I heard this morning, and I'll give it to you summarized because we're just about time, my friend. This morning I went and got a coffee, and you know, the worst thing you can ever ask anybody, it seems like, is how you doing. And this guy said, you know, the guy at the coffee shop says to this guy, "Hey, how you doing today?" And he goes, "I'm living the dream." And he starts laughing and he goes like this, "If you believe that, I got dot dot dot." And I looked at him, and I almost said something, but I was like, you know what? Obviously, he's never going to change his ways, most likely, and, you know, he thinks it's all a big joke. And you know, I'm not in any into that cliche crap anyone's. You know,
me neither.
You know, I'm living the dream. Well, what's the dream? Tell me what they wouldn't know a dream from a nightmare, you know what I mean? So they put this big show on and think it's funny, and I'm saying to myself, do you realize what you're telling yourself and the others around you? You know, basically it was something to the effect where, you know, that's all a load of crap. Well, it's not a load of crap. And if you understand your subconscious mind and you learn how to reconstruct a lot of things, you can become very successful very fast. This is why we have all these malcontents, and like that clown yesterday decided he was going to go on a shooting rampage. It's because all they occupy themselves with is the most negative stuff out there. There's nobody, I don't care. If you're going to depend on government for your livelihood, you're as good as dead.
Well, that's the point. You know, yeah. I defy that guy to prove, if he could have, that any political party changed a second of his life.
Exactly. but the ones that go and do that stuff, they've been listening to this rhetoric. They obviously don't have much going on between their ears other than, well, maybe if I go and do something like this, then people will take notice to me. Well, I'm sure everybody now has taken notice to you, but where are you right now? You're dead, all right?
Yeah.
And you know what? Most people won't want to hear this, but I'll tell you what, I'm glad he is. And I'll tell you why, because you don't need to have this stuff going on and on and on. You know, what if he did get away? Where's he going to hit next? Because it empowers people when they can do things that they feel they're successful with and go and do them again and again. And I don't think going out and killing people is a great hobby to be proud of, all right? So the right thing, really, you know, and I know people say, well, you know, he was disturbed and he had no, you know, they had no reason. Look, when you're a threat to a number of people, you know, it's either you or them. And they did the right thing. They had no choice. Who knows what these law enforcement people are even up against? You never seem to get the whole story. But the point of this matter, and I'm going to finish this right now, this point, and give it back to Jason, is this. You know, wouldn't it be much better to just become stronger physically and mentally and spiritually and go out and push this type of style of living, this way that you can get so much further ahead and do the things you want to do in your life, all right? And you know, you lead, you offer solutions, you help people. Isn't that what it's all about? Because when you do things like that, it makes you better.
Yeah.
You better, all right? But a lot of us choose a different road to go down. And remember this, when you choose the wrong road, anything can happen. And I think there's way too much emphasis. I can't stand when you hear them say, well, I wonder what was going on in their mind. Who gives a damn? Who cares at that point? It doesn't matter, all right? They've done the damage, whatever's happened to them. I don't care if they didn't get 1,000 hugs when they're little. Look, I understand a lot of people go through a lot of bad things. I'm not adverse to any of it or cold to that, but there comes a certain point in a man or woman where you've got to really pull your ass up on your own. And you can't blame everybody and expect everybody. You heard Jason refer to when Rocky was talking to his son. You know what I mean? You know, like he said, cowards do that, and that's not you. Okay? And that's what he was talking about, blaming he, she, or like when he said to Rocky when he came to visit him one morning as he was going to his job, he said, you cast a big shadow. That's not what you do, man. You do the right thing. That's all I can say. And you do the smart thing and think about yourself. Because as I said in multiple shows now, you come first and your health come first. And that is not selfish, because you cannot be the husband, the wife, the father, the boyfriend, the lifter, the community guy or gal out there that people look to, if you don't have those two ingredients in your life. Jason, summarize anything, give out any info. I'll give mine out and hang on the line if you would, please.
Well, to conclude all of this, bare bones, or like some call it, in fact, John Anderson, the strong man, calls it deep waters.
Yep.
Those things build you. The bare bones builds you where you're lacking, and you need to work on that, your personal development, on as you become aware of it, and jump on it, get better at it, get stronger, because the opportunities, when they come along for you to help someone else,
yep,
or when they come along for you to stand up and be the right person, be a man, you know, to be somebody who is of high character, you're ready to go. If you neglect those things, or if you make excuses for those things, what do you have? You have a contribution that you're going to give to all the anxiety and problems of the world.
Yep.
And that ain't you. Talk about Rocky. You don't need to live like that.
No.
You need to live the other way. You need to be the person, the Superman. You don't even have to be extravagant or a Superman. You just have to be built. You have to be ready to go.
Yeah.
And when you have that behind you, you are passing on to others that strength that's not selfish. It's not for you. It's right. For others, you know? And I'm glad that we tied this all together, because it's really what we need. It's really what we need to practice in our
life.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what it is too, Jason, is this. The things we talked about with bare bones, it's very simple terminology, but it's been lost now because they try to make everything very convoluted, very 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 deep. You know, everything's this, that, and the other thing. Life is not like that. Life is meant to be streamlined, to be lived. It's not to sit there and go and get therapy all over the place and second guess everything you've done and not sure of anything, because you go through life not confident, not willing to take action, not willing to lay it out on the line, you're going to keep seeing what we saw yesterday. I got news for you. And you're going to see it more and more, because you see kids now, I can tell you, local stuff that's going on here, the level of disrespect for people and what they do is like nothing I've ever seen. And this is coming from a lot of the parenting, or should I say non-parenting, and the ability to figure no matter what it is, you can say or do whatever you want to people. I've cautioned this before. You better be damn careful who you fool around with, because as my dad always said, there's always somebody better and tougher out there in the world. You do the wrong thing or you get into the wrong person's face, that could get you annihilated, literally.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
But so if there's anything else, what else you got?
Well, I just want to just thank you for this discussion. I'm going to use this as more motivation to continue on in my strength, especially with this grip meet that's coming up, grip strongman meet. It's probably the only big thing I'm going to do this year, and I want to make it happen. So,
yeah,
you know, the stuff that I've had in the closet, stuff that I've had, like Rocky says too, stuff that I had in the attic in the back.
In the basement, man, in the basement.
There it is.
Yeah.
I've had it. I just got to come pull it out again, dust it off, and get it ready to go. And really, hopefully, with the purpose of contributing to other people's inspiration, other people's happiness.
Yeah.
So that we use our strengths in a productive way, you know. And hopefully, you know, with my boys and things like that, it gives them more of a motivation or more inspiration, more of an example to learn from in whatever endeavors they have. You know, they're practicing baseball here and there. They're doing things that they love, but I really want them to continue on. I really believe in them. They're becoming successful. So
yeah.
I just want to thank everybody on this show, you know, especially lately with James Fuller, you know, to have such a support there. And we really just need to keep blasting through those weak spots, pumping them up, pulsating them, and we'll be ready for anything.
I think that we've been very fortunate with the show. I think we've linked so many people together now, and the community is just growing and growing, and it's a great thing because, you know, with all the people we've had on here, you know, we've made contact with so many different people, so many of the listeners have now. You know, I couldn't be happier, and you know, I know we're going to see this just grow and grow and grow. And, you know, we get to my dream where we're a live radio with call, and then we know we've got it all, because then we get to go after anybody we want. But we'll get it either way. It doesn't matter, because this is just destined to be this way. This just didn't come out of the blue. I think this had been in the making my whole life. And finally, it took one or two things to finally get it to, you know, become developed, and, you know, it's still a baby, so to speak, but it's a baby that's got claws that are really, really big and constantly climbing and grabbing and going through whatever it has to do. And that's what success is all about. You know, it's not just, well, I got there. Well, what got you there, and what did you go through, and what can you teach people? Because I'll tell you what, I could teach people so much just in podcasting alone, it would blow your mind.
You already have.
Well, that's the idea, you know. And you know, business, it's unbelievable. That's all I can tell you. It's just unbelievable. And I hope everybody's enjoying it, because you know, I've tried to bring everybody into this great thing that I'm building here, because it's great to share this with everybody, and everybody's a part of it. I mean, I don't know if many people understand what's really going on right in front of them right now. This is some pretty incredible stuff to be able to be part of a growing business and seeing all the things that are happening. I mean, if you're paying attention, you're seeing some pretty amazing things, especially the majority of this has been riding on my back for almost 3 years. Just think when we're in a position financially where I can really unleash everything I want to, I would tell you it'll be like nothing you've ever seen, but that's for a whole nother show. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. The Winner's Circle, you want to talk about life-changing? 13 modules there. You got 6 people that will work with you for 1 hour for free. There isn't any loss there with that at all. We will be doing video, and the Winner's Circle is going to be a product that's going to keep growing. There's going to be many more modules. You heard what we were talking about today. Eventually, a lot of that will be filmed. There's a ton of stuff, especially if John McKean and I are going to be doing some joint stuff. That's going to be even more film. It's going to be more talk. This product on its own could blossom into who knows how many modules. And we're already talking about doing a part on FBC. But we've got to work it all out, and right now it just can't be done. We're going to do a link, basically, with the website. It's going to be called Video Vault, and we are going to have, if they want to do it, people from the show putting video up there. There's going to be ways to connect to everybody. You heard Jason talk about connecting with James Fuller. Well, all those things that you wanted to do or you didn't know how to do, you're going to learn on Video Vault. This is going to be a massive undertaking, especially as I go to people down the road and say, do you want to become involved with this, because the amount of storage that's going to be involved. This is no small undertaking, but Video Vault eventually is going to all be hooked into the Winner's Circle. So, as I said, there is a multitude of stuff going on here and being thought up already, and it's all written down and cataloged, so it will happen. Also, too, don't forget the Winner's Circle. Contributions. We need contributions. I said I want to make $1,000 a month just in contributions while we keep building the company, become very solvent, have money coming our way in just droves, because I'm telling you right now, the bigger and quicker we get solvent, the quicker we're going to do more and more things and help everybody out. That's the nature of the beast, and that's what we'll keep doing. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and just look at all the stuff that's there's 700 podcasts almost out there now in a little over 2 years. We'll be 3 years old at the end of September. So we're coming up on that. It's absolutely incredible. Also, to go out to Apple and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. We appreciate it. If you'd like to get us in your car, we're on AHA Directory. That's AHA. If there's a show you'd like Jason and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Also, too, I'll leave you with a ton of things here. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them 5 words of inspiration. Believe me, 5 words will change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it today, bend it, break it, twist it, press it, pull it, and squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red Domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Also, Frank Klein, my greatest business college professor. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor, who's coming up on his 3-year anniversary. We lost him to cancer. He'd walk every patient to the door and say, keep smiling. John was one of the most, John was probably one of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life. I miss our Fridays. I just miss John, period. Great, great guy. But, you know, he's in a better place, I'm sure. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming because we're not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot right through it. Join the family. Join the revolution. You're going to have 30 years like you wouldn't believe. And also, too, as the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness, but we take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And I mean that. Not many people would say that in today's day and age. Jason, thanks. It's always an honor to have you on, sir. Great show.
Same here, man. Thank you very much, Eric.
You are welcome, sir. Anytime. So for Jason Gillen, this is Eric Fiorello. We will get Jason on again. We will have this show up within 8 days or less. And I can tell everybody, you know, life is expecting something from you. It's going to keep bothering you until you deliver. Don't be like the rest of the snowflakes. Be a man. Have a set of, you know what, and practice the art of manliness, and never surrender who you are. As my pop said, be a leader, not a follower. Have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. And thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.